We praise you this morning. Lord, we can worship you with our lives, but we're required to open our lips to praise you. We are required to open our lips to praise you. We praise you this morning. We lift up our voices to you. We lift up our hearts to you. And we tell you, Lord, you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. And we exalt you this morning. We thank you, for God, you are so good. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see you here this morning. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon about forgiveness. We were talking about the foundation for freedom. Foundation for freedom. If you can't get past this part, you're not going to go any higher. And that's an upsetting thing for those that just can't seem to let go of an offense. But you got to. And so maybe last Sunday you felt the obligation to say, okay, I forgive them. But you still haven't gotten free from the feelings of the offense. Kind of hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Say, okay, well, you know, you said that it's rebellion to hold on to the offense and that it's sin to hold on to the offense and I need to forgive. So, okay, I forgive them. But I still feel it. Well, hopefully today we can kind of address that. Because Jesus said in that Matthew passage that you have to forgive from the heart. And what's the heart? The heart's the center of emotions. And sometimes it's hard to feel like forgiving anybody. And it's hard to feel like you have forgiven them, even though you may have said those words. While we were singing, I was just thinking about one of the passages I spoke about last Sunday, and that Hebrews passage said, beware of the root of bitterness by which many are defiled. When we're talking about personal freedom and getting the hate and the hurt out of our heart, then we have to go to the Lord and say, let's go back to the original offense that I allowed to be planted into my heart. And sometimes that is really deep, isn't it? Why? Because of years of covering it up. Just imagine a root. And for years, you've been covering it up. And say, it's an ugly fruit that comes off of it. So I just want to keep covering it up. Well, the more you cover it up, the deeper you got to go to dig it up. And so it requires the Holy Spirit to walk you back through the course of your life to say, here's where it started. Now you ready to get healed up. You ready to get that hurt healed and that void filled. It's going to be an act of God to do it. By the way, that's what he wants. That's what he wants to do. So we've started off in a nice, lighthearted way this morning. But really, when it comes to personal freedom, don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free? And so if it requires surgery, it requires surgery. Let's get it done. Let's get moving with it. So how do I get freedom? How do I forgive from my heart? Look in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we did touch this passage last Sunday. I thought it was interesting. Last Sunday, I preached on this. And then Monday morning, Brother Danny Elledge says, hey, did you check out Pastor Jimmy Evans' message on forgiveness? I said, yeah, he gets his messages from me. I mean, he wants to get some good sermons. He listens in on me. If y'all don't know who Pastor Jimmy Evans is, he's an amazing man of God that pastored Trinity Church in Amarillo, and now he's the founder of XO Marriage Conferences and just an amazing man of God. And so he took what I did not quite understand until he started opening up this teaching, and I thought, man, there it is. There's the key to having that hurt out of our heart. And so let's go to it. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Nobody had to tell you that, by the way. You know that? You heard it said. Nobody had to tell me that. I knew to love my neighbor and to hate my enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. And now here's the key. Bless those who curse you. Man, how hard is that? Now, I can forgive them. I say, all right, Lord, I'm releasing it. I'm not going to be judge, jury, and executioner for the offense that they've committed. Fine, I release it. But then he comes and says, no, you need to go even further and bless them. But I don't want to bless them. I don't want them blessed. I want them hurting worse than I hurt. Anybody with me on that? All right, I'm glad I'm the only one that can confess in the room. And he said, bless them when they curse you. And this is where I'm going with the sermon today, in that we are to have a different spirit than this world. And then when something comes against us, that we need to take the opposite approach. It is the key to personal freedom. It is the key to victories of the soul, is to take the opposite approach. He said, they curse, you bless. Well, it's not easy to do. And when that first time that you do it, Pastor Jimmy Evans was saying, hey, there was this particular man who deeply offended him. And the Lord, he had forgiven him. He went through the words, went through the motions numerous times, and still that hurt was still in his heart. And the Lord illuminated this passage of scripture, and so he did it. He spoke blessings over this man. He said, it's hard to do. Hard to do. Didn't feel any different after the first time. Second time, felt a little different. After about 10 times, he finally just realized, and by the way, in this process of blessing, the Lord opened up his understanding as to that man's offense and where his hurt came from that caused him to hurt him. You see, it's hurt people that hurt people. And if you were able to see their hurt, then maybe you could recognize, you know what? If I don't break this cycle, it's going to continue. And now there is one who this earth is under the sway. The scriptures tell us is under the sway of the prince of the power of this air. He's also called the slanderer, the accuser, the father of lies. And if I am repeating these things, then I am cooperating with Satan. And I don't want to be cooperating with Satan. So just recognize this passage of scripture. What's happening? It's the opposite approach. When they curse, you bless. Not only is your curse not going to land, because I won't receive it, but I'm going to, in return, bless you. Why? Because now I'm wanting to make sure I guard this heart of mine. I want to make sure that my heart is pure. See, Jesus tells us what flows out of your mouth, it comes from your heart. And I have had incidences when I got so mad, so fired up that I just started spouting out. And what it revealed to me is what had been already in there for a long, long time. It had been festering. It's stanky when it comes out. You know what I'm talking about? It was ugly to clean up. But it revealed what was in my heart. And so now I thought, okay, now I got some cleaning up to do. I have some soul searching to do. Let's read it again, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This opposite approach, it applies to all sorts of things. It applies if I'm feeling greedy. What do? I take the opposite approach and I get real generous. Everybody with me? That makes sense? Take the opposite approach. So let me just point this out real quick. So I do this all the time, talk about body, soul, and spirit. How many of y'all have heard me teach on body, soul, and spirit? All right, finally, five of you actually heard it after 100 times of teaching on it. So body, soul, and spirit. You have a body. You are not a body. You are a soul. When this body's done, you continue. You have a body that has five senses: taste, touch, smell, sight, sound. I can sense the word. It's the center of world consciousness. I recognize this table is here because I hear it, I feel it, I see it. Center of world consciousness. I have a soul. I have a body. I am a soul. The soul is the center of self-consciousness. It is your intellect, your emotions, and your volition, your will. I now know that I exist because I can think. And then the spirit is the center of God consciousness. This is the area in that if you are spiritually dead, you can't hear, understand, truly know God until you've been spiritually born again. Maybe some of you really struggle understanding this book. Well, it's a spiritual book, and it's to be spiritually discerned. And if you're spiritually dead, you're not going to really get much out of it. So this is the part of us that needs to be born again. because we're spiritually dead because of sin. So we need to be born again. Now that I'm born again, I can hear from God. I can know God. I can cooperate with God. So I've always done this the dozens of times that I've done it, body, soul, spirit. World consciousness, self-consciousness, God consciousness. But now I'm going to change up the illustration. I want you to see three concentric circles. Body, soul, spirit. Okay? Don't think that you can change your spirit by changing things bodily. Well, I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start cleaning up my act. I'm going to start doing things different. No, in fact, that's where you'll stop. Because once you get those things taken care of, which, by the way, you know you'll never get them taken care of. Once you think that you're pretty good there, that's where you'll stop. But the key is you get spiritually transformed. That's the core of your being, body, soul, spirit. So this is the world's approach. I'm going to change things externally. I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and now things are going to be different in me. No, what needs to happen is you need to change things spiritually. In fact, you can't even do it. It is God who transforms you spiritually, and that's the core of his being. Instead of working from the outside in, it's from the inside out. Amen? But to operate over here in the body and the soul being my thinking and my feeling, interpreting what my body is experiencing, that's flesh, okay? Instead of doing it that way, outside in, I'm going to transform it, allow him to transform it as I'm going from the inside out, the spiritually I'm going to see things different. And I'm going to allow his spirit to determine what I think, what I feel, and what I do. Rather than allowing the body and this world, you see, if it's the three circles is a good illustration. See, the world is influencing the body. And then my soul is interpreting what the world is saying to my body. But if now, instead of coming outside in, I'll go from the inside out, from the spirit. See, Jesus said, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The world operates in lies because the world is under the sway of the liar. But I need to hear the truth. You are just soaking this up, aren't you? I'm giving you treasure. This is good stuff. So 1 John chapter 4. Verse 4, 1 John 4, 4. It says, but you are of God, little children. These are the ones who have been born again and have overcome them, the world. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Can I get a good amen? Amen. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. Those that curse you, they're of the world. They're just going, they're under the sway of the enemy. Therefore, they are of the world. They speak of the world, and the world hears them. But number 6, we are of God. Amen. He who knows God, spiritual, who knows God, God hears us. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, but this we know, that the spirit, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world operates under a spirit of error. I cannot fight fire with fire, or I just get a bigger fire. Don't you, y'all remember what mama told you? Two wrong don't make a right. But three lefts do. I don't know if y'all know. Think about that sometime. to fight fire with fire, you get a bigger fire. You can't fight lies with lies, or you get a bigger realm of lies. What do you fight lies with? Opposites. The truth. So if I'm feeling greedy, I approach that flesh feeling. Y'all with me? That's a fleshly feeling. Outer realm. If I'm feeling greedy, I need to come at it spiritually by generosity. Amen. I'm starting to feel really tight and greedy. I need to get real generous. If I'm fighting envy, so let's pretend for a second. Let's pretend you caught more fish than I did. It's a pretend. It won't happen. I mean, we just pretending. But if you did, and I'm feeling envious, now what I'm going to do is celebrate your successes. See, the opposite approach. The opposite approach. Ain't that right, Brother Yancey? It's good. Amen. Amen. So if I am experiencing things that stir up my flesh, I come at it the opposite with, if it's lies, I come at it with the truth. Amen. All right, I want to look in James chapter 3. John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. That's good right here. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? What are some of the lies that Satan tells us? The lies that Satan tells us is you're guilty, you're shameful, you're no good. How many of us have had people speak things to us or about us, and you've heard them, that it may have been a long time ago, but you still feel it? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Maybe something has been said about you or to you, and those words, man, they change things in you. I've heard of last night I was listening to R.T. Kendall, and he was talking about his fifth grade teacher, that for the first time in his life, he didn't get A's in school. And when his dad was talking to the teacher, she just said, well, your son's not an A student. And from that point forward, he wasn't. He listened to, he received those words and said, I'm not an A student. And from that point forward, he wasn't an A student. Why? Because he listened to the wrong words. And we should go even further back and say, somebody needs to quit speaking these words. Jesus tells us this parable of someone who is sowing seed. And that seed, some lands on the roadside, some lands in the ditch, some lands in the weeds, and some lands on good, fertile soil. And then he says that seed is the word. That seed is the word. Some lands on hard hearts, and they don't receive it. And the enemy comes in and steals that word. Some lands in the shallow soil, the roadside, in the ditch. It's shallow. It springs up. It looks like it's got something going on, but when trials of life hit that truth, because there's no roots to it, it withers away quickly. Some lands in the weeds and in the briars and the thorns and the thistles, and that truth springs up and you receive it and say, yep, that's me. But then the cares of this world wrap around that and they choke out fruitfulness out of our lives. Everybody with me? And then some lands on soil that is good and taken care of and receives it. And that seed springs up, makes a plant that is fruitful. And then he says, the seed is the word. So I could come this morning and preach the gospel and tell you need to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And you say, yeah, maybe I'll do that some other day. It lands on the surface. And as soon as you walk out of this building, Satan comes and steals it away and you don't ever call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Or you could say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And you pray a prayer. You don't do any discipleship. You don't grow any roots. And then all of a sudden, tragedy hits your life, and you fade away quickly. Did you ever really get any kingdom empowerment in your life when you got saved? Well, maybe you're going to make it to heaven. It's hard to know. I don't know if you really truly got saved or if you just made some emotional response because there was no roots. And because there was no roots, there's no fruit. And I can't really tell if you're a Christian or not. I'm not a good judge, but I am a fruit inspector. Right? And some, yeah, they made a response and prayer to prayer, got dunked in a tank. But the cares of this world, all of a sudden they became too successful. All of a sudden there was too many problems. I don't know, but the cares of this world chokes out fruitfulness. Now, shift this. It says the seed is the word. But now let's go at it from another approach. Words are seeds. So what kind of seeds are you spreading? What kind of seeds are you spreading? What kind of things are you saying? The scriptures tell us that we will be held accountable for every idle word we speak. What does it mean, idle word? It's not I-D-O-L like a little Buddha. It's like I-D-L-E. It's when I'm not even thinking, I just start talking. I pop the clutch on my mouth before my brain is in gear. That's an idle word. I just start spouting off. And the Bible says you're going to be held accountable for those. You're going to be held accountable for those words. Why? Because words have power. And somebody heard them. Somebody heard those words. And you may have just thought that you were just saying that little kid ain't going to ever be any good. And nobody heard you, but if he did, and those around him, you see where we're going with that? Words are seeds. And it's not just that a seed will grow up to grow a plant, but seeds turn into plants that produce seeds. Everybody with me? Seeds, that seed, that word that was spoken, is received. By the way, you'll notice that at the end of each service, starting 2 weeks ago, we started speaking blessings over everybody. It's a very biblical thing that I think the church has forgotten, but it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation, speaking blessings. Why? This world is speaking curses all the time. Speaking negativity, speaking ill, all the time. And I believe in the house of God, there ought to be blessings spoken all the time. And somebody speaking a blessing to me, guess what? I want to receive that. I'm like, pile it on. Pile it on. I receive. This is we say, all right, hold your hands out. Receive the blessing. Some people get weirded out over this kind of thing. Say, have you got an authority to pronounce a blessing? As a child of God, we have authority to speak blessings. When the world curses, you take the opposite approach. Bless. And by the way, I really don't get caught up in the theology. You want to bless me? I want it. I want it. I receive that. But if you want to curse me, I don't have to. A curse without a cause does not land unless you receive it. Do you hear me? You speak something ill of me, I have to say, you know what? I am not letting that take root in my heart. Forgiveness is the foundation for freedom. Take no offense. Jesus tells on two separate occasions, it is impossible for no offenses to be done, but it's bad for those that cause them. That's what he says. And then you might be familiar with this passage of scripture. Maybe you don't remember those phrases, but you remember this one. It would be better for someone to be cast into the sea with a millstone hung around his neck than somebody offend one of these little ones. That's what that's connected to. Said it's impossible for us to go through life without offenses. Just don't let it be you that does it. That's what he's saying. So let me get back to my notes. They're pretty good. James chapter 3, verse 10. What are you speaking? Be mindful of what you're speaking. James, brother of Jesus, is telling us that we ought to be speaking words of life, not words of death. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Christian, be mindful of what you're saying. Who are you cooperating with? What you're speaking is an indicator of who you're cooperating with, cooperating with. Are you speaking words of ill report, criticism and negativity? Are you speaking words of death? Are you speaking words of life? Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now we're talking about something. I want to heap some coals of fire on their head. Amen. That way they can have hair like mine. Heap coals of fire on their head. That's what I want. I want to burn their head. But you realize that's not really how this is, what's he talking about? Refine their thinking. I've shared this before. Sometimes I'm a little too transparent. I tell my ugliness. I was asked one time, do you know old so-and-so? I said, yeah, I know him. Automatically, you can tell by my tone what I thought about him. He said, huh? So you don't like him? I said, nope, I don't like him. And he said, man, he thinks the world of you. Well, maybe I was wrong about his character. He has good character. He has great discernment, apparently. You know what it did? It heaped coals of fire on my head. It refined my thinking. And here that individual that I did not want to give him the time of day because I felt he was wrong and that he had no character. And because I had those feelings about him, I didn't want to get to know him. And later on when I got to know him, I realized, no, this is actually a man of God. And a really good one. When we do the opposite, are you with me? This opposite approach. When we do the opposite, all of a sudden it changes things. We activate heaven when we do the opposite of what the world does. God then says, hey, I can get involved in this. I can get in on this, and things change. Romans 12, verse 20 again, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Check out verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. It reminds me of Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Cain is mad. He's mad at his brother, and he's mad at God. Mad at his brother because his brother's offering was accepted and Cain's was rejected. And so he's mad at his brother and he's mad at God. And God comes and has a heart-to-heart with Cain and said, basically, what's your problem, boy? He said, if you do right, will you not be accepted? He said, but sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door. Everybody, if you remember last Sunday's sermon, Jesus says, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Why? Because he wouldn't open the door. He wouldn't open the door to offense. You see, offense is one of the greatest traps that we can have is we open the door to offense and say, did you see what they said about me? Did you see how they looked at me? Now, offense has come in. But Cain, God is telling Cain, sin is lying at the door, and his desire is to control you. Said, just imagine. So there was several years ago, we first moved to the house we live in. We moved out in the middle of the woods. I used to have a deer stand where my house sits. And so we moved an old house in there, and we had issues with mice and wood rats. Y'all know what a wood rat is? About that long. Big old rascals. And so we thought, cats, that'll fix them. And I think these rats would have ate a cat. So we got these cats, and we had them in my barn and grew them up in my shop. That was home to them, unfortunately. Later on, when they got grown, that's what kittens do, unfortunately. They turn into cats. And the cats got out of my shop. But every time I went to my shop, the little boogers would run where I'm not looking at my feet. I'm not watching my feet when I'm walking. And I crack that door open. Them little rascals run in. Make me so mad. You can get about 50 feet with a cat. Sin lies at the door. Just waiting for you to crack it. Waiting for you to receive it. Words are being spoken constantly, all around us, constantly, waiting for you to open the door, waiting for you to receive it. You don't have to receive it. You don't have to open the door. You don't have to receive it. Sin wants to conquer you, Cain, but you should conquer it. And here's the scripture that says, do not be overcome by evil, but you overcome evil. How? With good. The opposite approach. Remember this, the opposite approach. If I'm feeling greedy, I want to be generous. If I'm feeling hateful, I need to be loving. If I'm listening to the lies that are being spoken to my head, I need to combat those lies with the truth of God's word, of what he says I am. Amen. Amen. And so let's do the opposite. Let's do the opposite of what my flesh wants to do, the opposite of what this world wants to do. I'm going to speak words of blessing over myself. I'm going to speak words of blessing over you. I'm going to speak words of blessing over this world. And if the world just keeps on cursing, I'm going to keep on blessing. Amen. Let us be powerful. Let's go back to this phrase. Weak people make excuses. Strong people make changes. Kingdom people make a difference. Amen. Weak people make excuses. Well, I am the way I am because they did such and such. Well, you're weak. Because now you have a choice. Maybe you didn't have a choice when they did it to you, but you got a choice now. Strong people make changes. I'm not going to continue to fail in this area. I'm not going to continue to be overcome. I am going to overcome. How? With good. Overcome evil with good. You do the opposite. But kingdom people say, it's not enough to speak words of blessing over the curses that have been spoken over me. It's not enough to speak this truth over me. Now I'm going to speak it over you. I want to see God's blessings on you. I want to plant some seed of blessings in your life. And when you receive that, then it's going to grow to a harvest of blessings. And you're going to speak blessings over other people's life. And you say, does it really work that way? Are there actually blessings, the people prospering because of words being spoken? Look, we can have all kinds of differences of theology on that. I don't really care. But here's what I do know. I reap what I sow. I harvest what I plant. And I'd rather harvest a blessing. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you speak blessings over us. You speak truth to us. You speak life in us. Lord, I pray that we receive those things. And when the enemy is speaking lies and the world around us speaks lies and curses and negativity and death, Lord, may we reject that and say, no, that's not of God. I won't receive it. But I want to receive everything from you, O Lord. Lord, I pray that we would not only receive the good and reject the evil, but that we would be spreaders of good and speak truth, speak blessings. Your words are life. May we listen to what you're saying and not what the enemy says. May we speak what you're saying and cooperate with you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.